You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26 with myself, Mo Muncy. Alongside me, as always, the one and only, the legend, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
Mo, I'm doing good, but I didn't get the memo. I didn't wear my shades today, but you know, you were among all the Hollywood and NBA types this weekend, so I'm surprised you didn't have your tuxedo on from yesterday. But man, what a weekend in London.
Oh, Coach, it was crazy. So the reason for the shades, I'm going to explain to you. I don't think I've slept since maybe Wednesday. I've been non-stop. I did a show on Amazon Prime that ended at 7 a.m. I got home 7:30 a.m. Then I did, my Saturday started off with an interview with Joakim Noah. We did a beautiful activation with Foot Locker where I sat down with Joakim and did an interview with him. And then we had some young basketball players from the community be able to ask their questions as well. And I'm going to share some of that on a future episode of this podcast.
Oh, beautiful.
Which was really nice. And then my day took me to Nike's new activation with Nike Mind, a new technology that they've just released. I spoke to the head of the research team, as well as a couple guys that you might have heard of, Mr. Desmond Bain and Mr. Anthony Black. Two great guys. By the way, Coach, we didn't talk about this. How about that dunk in Berlin from Anthony Black?
I've known Anthony Black since he was in high school at a Dallas, Texas. Went to play for our friend Musselman, Eric mm-hmm. Musselman, mm-hmm. at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And after his freshman year, went to the NBA. I love his whole vibe. He's got a great mom and everything. He is just a class kid. An emerging star to the point where I think he's going to be in consideration for most improved player in the league. Mm-hmm. But that dunk, I have never seen a guy dunk on four guys.
That's the dunk of the season for me.
To me, that was incredible. And he's so cool, the kid. He's got a great vibe about it.
You know what's nice is like me and him and Desmond, we hung out a little bit before and after the event. So I got to know them, those guys. It's my first time meeting them. I got to know them a bit. You know, Ant's, his mum was there. You know, some of his family was there. They're real nice
people, real humble,
great energy. We had a great event. You know, they were giving great answers. You know, a lot of times I do stuff with athletes and sometimes they don't want to do the appearance and they give short answers. But these guys were great conversation. I also want to thank all you guys listening who got tickets and came to the event to watch it.
That worked out well for them.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And that's our 2K26 group playing at the NBA house.
Oh, that was on Sunday. We ain't got to Sunday yet. This was Saturday. Oh my God. So then I did that with Nike, and then I went straight to the Jordan Brand event where I did an interview with Paolo Banchero, and there was a one-on-one tournament going. It's a pretty cool one-on-one tournament. They had the guys played the first to seven. And then the girls played first 14 with, so it's like you're in a pair. So if I go and I'm up 7-5, then the girls come into the game and it's first to 14. So they have to balance score. And then Paolo was in the crowd for that one, which was pretty cool. Spoke to Paolo, then went to the House of Ja, where my friend Joel Henry dunked over Ja Morant. You know, Ja Morant's known for dunking on people. He jumped over Ja Morant in the dunk contest that Ja Morant was judging. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Is Joel Henry, is he from?
He's from London.
London?
He's one of the best dunkers in the world.
That's awesome.
It was unbelievable. Nike did a
great
job.
We should bring him to the All-Star game in Los Angeles. They should bring him there.
I say it every year. He's better than Mac McClung and all these other guys in the dunk contest.
Some of the dunks,
people don't know. I'd be in a gym with Joey and some of the dunks that he's practicing, the world ain't ever seen before. That's crazy. So that was Saturday, and then I won't disclose the rest of Saturday night. And then
Sunday, I'm one of the great slam dunk coaches of all time. Several of my players have won the slam dunk contest, from Dominique Wilkinson, Spud Webb, to Nate Robinson. Yeah, it's all because of my coaching.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I'm one of the great coaches.
So what did you tell guys like Spud Webb and Nate Robinson then? Because they're the two guys, I told him,
just keep going until you make one, okay? He did 14 misses in a row. And Dominique was the most incredible dunker in an NBA game I've ever coached. Obviously, him and MJ were incredible. you know, but, and Spud, who I coached in Atlanta, and Dominique were in Dallas doing the slam dunk contest. We had never seen Spud ever dunk in practice, ever.
Really?
And all of a sudden he goes there and he wins. Now, Dominique is a much better dunker and he was better in the thing, but the idea of a guy 5'7", 135 pounds, dunking in his hometown of Dallas, just won the event for him.
That's insane.
Yeah. Great guys, though. Great guys. Yeah.
That's crazy. So that was the dunk contest. That was Saturday. Then Sunday, I hosted the House of 2K at the NBA House. So the NBA House is like a big exhibition center, I guess, where lots of different brands have different installations. 2K, we had a really nice area set up where there was couches, there was like all loads of like exclusive memorabilia we've got, and then TVs on the walls, and you can come in and play NBA 2K. So shout out to all of you who pulled up for that as well. We did a little tournament. We were giving away prizes. And, you know, it was really nice because this whole weekend, you know, whether it's at these events I did or at the game, walking around the arena, so many people came up to me and they said they love the show and they said they love the content. And honestly, it just, that's the highlight of my weekend, was hearing from you guys listening to this. Because obviously we do this show on the internet. We don't actually get to interact with you outside of the comment section. Right. So those real life interactions just make my day every time. Just, you know, seeing the people who are in the comment section and then seeing them in real life is the best feeling.
And the show is for them.
Yes, that's why
the show is for them.
That's why I'm on 0 hours sleep in 4 days and I'm still here doing the show. So we did the House of 2K, and it's really exciting because season 4 of NBA 2K26 has just dropped. That's Victor Wembanyama and Tyrese Maxey as the headline athletes. It's really cool because in this season, your My Player can take part in the slam dunk contest and the three-point contest for All-Star Weekend. There's new rewards in My Team. There's a level 40, 99 overall Dark Matter Russell Westbrook card that you can go and get. Like, this season of My Player, it's really exciting for me because they're bringing back Rivet City Park, which is an online park where you can go and run it up in there. I'm super excited for season 4 of NBA 2K26. If you don't yet have your copy, the link is in the description. But yeah, that was Sunday. I did that from 12 till 4. And then the game was at 5. So I had about an hour to get to the arena, get a little bit of food, and then get to the game. And then the game happened. And unlike in Berlin, where it was a really good close game, it was a very lopsided game in London. The Grizzlies just ran away with it from start to finish. But Ja Morant did play, coach. That was the big news. Big news of the weekend was Ja Morant. I didn't see him play in Berlin, but he played in London. He may have been told that he has to play because he's come all the way to London and the whole arena's there to see him. But I can't confirm or deny that. But it was great that he was on the court. He had a real good performance as well. He actually showed up and showed out. He was fantastic. Some people were questioning whether that's the last game that he played in a Grizzlies uniform.
Yeah.
I think my friend Mark Stein spoke to him after the game and asked him about his future. And he said, the Grizzlies tattoo on his back tells you everything he knows. You need to know about where he wants to be. So
tell him he can't take them off. That's the problem with putting tattoos on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have thought of that before you put it on.
Coach, you're lucky you didn't tattoo all the teams you coached on you. You'd be covered in ink.
I have more room to spare. but, you know, but six teams would be enough. But I'll tell you what, Ja played well. The Grizzlies, Tomas Isolo, shout out to European basketball. He's a terrific coach, I think. And he's doing it his way. His teams, the one thing you can say about his team in both games, they play hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the guys that aren't dressed for Memphis, they're a starting five for many teams in the league.
Memphis always seems to have so many injuries all the time.
I have a feeling, Mo, it's the water in Memphis. You can't understand that, but, you know, in different places in the U.S., we don't have great water, but I'm joking.
But then how's Detroit so good?
It's
because the water in Michigan ain't good.
It's the kind of water that, because you drink it your whole life, it gives you, you have lead lining on your stomach to be able to handle
This is what they say about pizza in New York. They say the pizza in New York is the best because of the tap water in the dough. That's what they say.
Having grown up in New York and worked in New York, it's the pizza's the best. But the things that's the best there are, I'm not sure, having only been to London a few times, I don't think it's a big thing there, but our hot dogs, right? hot glizzies. Dogs in New York City. Mm. They're the best, and they're the ones who we sell on the street carts.
Yeah, the street carts. With, yeah,
and that is Hudson River water. That is damn bad water, but that's what makes it so damn good. Okay, so it's the dirty water on those hot dogs that you get. Before I coach the Knicks every game, I'm walking into Madison Square Garden, and they're just outside the where we had a special entrance for players and coaches. I would just go up and I would say to the hot dog guy that was there every game, I just give him two. I wanted two dogs with mustard on them. He wrapped them up in, in aluminum foil. I took them upstairs, and I'm eating those every game. And the best part, New York City, one of the most expensive places in the world. I think I was paying $1.25 a dog. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like heaven for me. Oh, it's the best.
No, my favorite is the halal cart, the halal guys. That's favorite street food.
It's world class.
Yeah, you're right. It's unbelievable. So that was the Magic and the Grizzlies in London this weekend.
They were good.
It was a great weekend. You know, so many activations, so much happening around the city, and it just shows. You know, our friend Isaiah was in town as well.
Isaiah, him and his wife, I talked to him. Yep.
He did some stuff for the fans over here as well. You know, everyone's in town today for their summit. As you know, you guys, we usually record the episodes on Sunday and release them on Monday. Today, we're recording on Monday. They're doing a summit for NBA Europe today, and they have a lot of important people in the building for that one as well.
Very important people, which I've had talks with a few of them already this morning.
Yeah, we're going to leave that one there. We don't want to be accused of leaking any info. We're going to leave that one right there. You know?
Don't want to get accused of tampering or sued by our friends from the EuroLeague.
We ain't getting
involved. But it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
You and I love ball. We just love it. We love hoops. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere. And I think I'm a huge fan and have been since I went over Chuck Daly and I in before the Dream Team played in Barcelona. We went over to do a clinic in Spain, 1,400 coaches there to learn. The best, the largest clinic I've ever spoken in front of. And some of the best coaches in the world are in Europe. It's great. I'm happy for basketball there.
If you guys missed our last episode last week with Ettore Messina of Olympia Milano, he talks about coaching in Europe. It's really an insightful conversation. I got a lot of messages about that episode of people saying how interested they were.
They liked my hint of Chow.
Yeah. Well, someone in the Discord thought it was Hugo Gonzalez. I said, brother, Hugo's from Spain.
That ain't Chow.
That's no, Ola. That was good. That was good. A lot of basketball stuff happening in Europe. Next year, the games are going to be in Paris and Manchester. But I was really impressed by Berlin. The crowd there was packed. They had energy. Obviously, it's because they've got three German players on the Magic team. Absolutely. But regardless, the German fans are crazy. Paris had the game last year and preceding years, but they get it back next year. And then Manchester, for the first time having a regular season game, they had one preseason game there many moons ago. But Manchester is an interesting place as well.
We must have a nice arena there in Manchester.
Oh, yep. It was built last year, I think.
I think pre-Olympics they had some friendly games there, possibly, maybe. Did 0-2. 0-2 looks like a great building, and Uber Arena in Berlin looked spectacular on television.
Yeah, that's what they need, more facilities and more stuff like this. But basketball's growing rapidly. But shall I tell you the downside, Coach, of being so busy and doing all of these things? I haven't been able to watch all the games that I usually watch. So
I made up for it. I studied for you.
This is teamwork.
This is
teamwork, because I'm looking at the standings and I've got a few questions for you, Coach. I have a few questions for you, because everyone knows if I talk about the Celtics, I may be a little bit biased. So I want to get your perspective. They're second in the Eastern Conference, 26-15. The only team in the East who have won more games than them is the Pistons, who have only won four more games, and that's the number one seed, right? And then I saw a clip on Twitter the other day. Jason Tatum looks to be saying to people after the game against the Heat, saying, "I'm ready." He said, "I'm ready." He was in a full workout today. I saw the video. I got sent the video of his full workout today. What are we saying, Coach? Because I was, you know, when I meet fans over these events and stuff, they love to trash talk me about the Celtics and so on and so on. And I was with some Knicks fans, and I said to them, "Hey, we coming to ruin your year. You won the NBA Cup, well done. But Jason Tatum's coming back and we coming for revenge.
Yeah, I think, first of all, Brad Stevens will make sure that, and his agent, Tatum's agent, Borstein, Drew Hanlon, they'll make sure he's 100% ready to go. But Joe Mazzulla, who I've been raving about, NBA coach of the year. I mean, I don't even know if we need to vote. He's done more with less. And that's not insulting the players on the Celtics. But he's got guys that wouldn't get in on other teams, scoring ridiculous amounts, playing at an incredible level. He would not surrender and not take that they won't be competitive. That's coaching. My definition of coaching, Mo, and I know we have great football fans in throughout Europe. The definition of coaching is taking players where they can't take themselves. Joe Mazzulla has done that with his team.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. We got great coaches. JB Bickerstaff, incredible. But JB's got some guys. He's got some talent, boy. But to think that Detroit could be 30-10 and Joe Mazzulla with the Celtics could be 26-15. I mean, that's absolutely insane.
So I want to talk about the Celtics. If you think Tatum comes back this season.
Yeah.
You think they for real? Like going back to the finals, going back to win the championship? Well,
they don't have the talent to do that.
But they have the talent to be the second seed.
I'm saying they don't have the talent to be a finals team. But I'm not saying anything against Joe Mazzulla taking him anywhere.
Mm.
No, I think that's how good he is. But they don't have the talent to be there through seven games of a playoffs. They are coaching the regular season flawlessly, in my opinion.
What was the first half against Atlanta the other day? Jalen Brown and Sam Hauser had like 50 between them.
That was insane. They outscored the Hawks, I think, 50-49 or some ridiculous thing in the first half.
Yeah.
And Hauser, the whole fourth quarter, still going 2-for-13, was trying to. Joe let him stay in to try to set the all-time record.
Yeah.
You don't do that in the NBA. You don't let a guy score points to get records. You know, college, yeah.
Well, defense shouldn't be letting him do that.
No. The pros, you don't do it. But Joe says, screw that. I don't care about your traditions and all that crap. Screw that. Throwing that out the window. And that's why I like the guy. I mean, I really like him.
So, you know. Let's talk about Detroit, though, because they're sitting at 30-10 in the number one seed.
Yeah.
And I saw something earlier from a fan of the Pistons who was at the game, and they say sitting next to them was five scouts from the Brooklyn Nets. And they went to one of the scouts and said, thanks for Michael Porter Jr., obviously alluding to a Michael Porter Jr. trade to Detroit. And one of the staff members allegedly said, well, let's hope this wasn't a wasted trip. And then everyone else looked annoyed at him. This is just a rumor. I have to state that for the record. But what would you think about Michael Porter Jr. on the Detroit Pistons?
I'm not sure. I'm really not. I've known him since high school. I'm not as big a fan as you are about him. I think he's playing really well in Brooklyn because there's no pressure whatsoever. He's got a coach that coached him, letting him shoot the ball every time he wants. He's playing beautifully. And I applaud MPJ for that. That's great. To go into a pressurized situation when you don't, to go in and walk into a team midseason is really hard. Really hard to learn the culture. Plus, what you're doing is you're breaking up the culture of your team already. So they don't need draft choices, Brooklyn. They have so many. I don't understand why they would do it right now. I don't know what they could get from Detroit that would make it worthwhile for them, to be honest with you.
Okay.
That's just my feeling.
Yeah, no, I hear you, because it's interesting to think about what the Pistons would give up. But another team I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
That 2026 has not been kind to is the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Because they're 2-8 in their last 10. They're one of the worst teams this year. They had Jalen Brunson pick up an injury, and he missed the game against the Warriors that I called on Prime last week as well. What's gone wrong for the Knicks? For me, when I watch them, it's like their defense has just disappeared out of nowhere. There's no communication. They're late on rotations. It's absolutely horrible.
Yeah, what happens in this league, Mo, is that when you see a weakness on a team, you study the film and you say, oh, that's what they did. And so what they're doing, I think, see, they have really good defenders with Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges. Then they have some really, and OG, okay? Three yep. really great defenders. Then they got two weak cats in Brunson and especially Cat. So what everyone is doing now is they're targeting Cat. Getting, when I say targeting, they're trying to get him involved in pick and rolls and defensively. And when you do that, he can rebound the ball. That part of defense he's fine at. But the part that he's not fine at is he can't move his feet. He's not good on pick and roll coverage, and he's not good on one-on-one pick and roll coverage on someone driving to the basket.
And he picks up so many unnecessary fouls as well.
That's the thing. And then they come in with Mitchell Robinson, and Mitchell Robinson can't score unless if you leave him alone in the gym. We have a saying that, you leave him alone in the arena, he still wouldn't score. But he can offensive rebound better than anyone in the league. But yeah. And he's a defender and he's a shot blocker. They're a funny team. Mike Brown was a defensive coach with the Warriors.
Yep.
At Sacramento, yep. His team didn't play defense.
Yep. They played fast-paced basketball.
Now they're not. So I don't know what's wrong, but I'll tell you what. He's got the most pressure on him of any coach in the league.
Do you think any of the Knicks' recent struggles is to do with, they won the NBA Cup late last year?
It's the damnedest thing. I think you're right, man.
Took their foot off the gas a little bit and just got
comfortable. Well, I don't even know. I don't know if it's even taking their foot off. I think there's so much energy that goes into that. The time in Vegas is a wipeout. They were there 5-6 days.
Yeah, and they must have had a celebration after winning.
It's like putting you in Vegas for 5 or 6 days. I don't know if I'd see you back. You'd have two sets of sunglasses on, But yeah, they need an all-star break coming in a few weeks and within the month. They need one badly. Yeah. They really do.
Well, they're going to have a couple guys.
And they need Brunson to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's flip to the West because OKC had a little scare. They had a little bad run of form, but they've got back to winning ways, although they lost their most recent game to the Heat. But they avenged their demons against the Spurs and picked up a real big win against San Antonio. OKC, I want to say OKC back on track, but what you warned everyone about before the season began and have constantly mentioned throughout the season has come to light again with Jalen Williams with a hamstring strain, another injury for OKC to deal with.
Hartenstein, Jalen Williams, too many guys are getting hurt for a young team.
Yeah.
Old teams getting hurt, okay. We went to the finals 3 years in a row, the Pistons. We're playing 110 games a year. We're older. Okay. No, if you look at the teams, Isaiah, those guys, 82 games a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nowadays, my hamstring's tight. Okay, you're not playing. I mean, SGA's only missed maybe two games out of 40-ish or so. He's has to do too much, and their style of play is a lot of one-on-one. I'm worried about that. They're having to do, they're exerting, even though they have the largest percentage of winning margin in NBA history, they still have to exert a lot of energy. Their schedule was the easiest, as you pointed out many times in the league, for the first 25 games. Now it's a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be interested to see what's happening. And the competition in the top 5-6 teams in the West is really good.
Yeah.
After that, it sucks. I mean, to be honest.
Well, you got the Spurs who are clearly number one. The Thunder who are clearly number one. But the Spurs who are the number one contender, I guess, to the Thunder's title as they're in the second seed. Then you got the Nuggets in third. But the Timberwolves, Rockets, and Lakers are all sitting around very similar kind of records, 27-16, 25-15, 25-16. If you had to rank those three teams in terms of championship aspirations, is that the correct order? Timberwolves, then Rockets, then Lakers?
Yeah, Lakers out. Don't even rank them. They're done. They're toast.
Yeah.
That'll get a hot take, huh? Yeah, I think so. They can't guard anyone. They're about
That's
the worst.
Not new
they're,
news.
They're about the worst team in the league statistically now. But they don't guard anyone. And when you come to a big game, a playoff game, and you got to win, you got to guard people. They can't stop you.
Mm.
Houston can stop you. They can't score. They can't shoot straight, Houston. Okay, but they got size. They got toughness. Ime's tough as hell, you know, but they got bigs, but they got Durant. They got Jabari Smith. They got some dudes, man. They just don't have a true point guard world class right now. But Spurs got the youngest cats that are talented. They don't have the big guys to sustain a 7-game series. Would Wimby is fragile, in my opinion. And Jokic is, you know, coming back. This might be good for Jokic almost to get a rest.
Yeah.
Minnesota, though. Minnesota, damn it. That's the team that has the ability on any night to beat anyone. They also have the ability to win a series. They've proven that over the years. That's the team that's a little scary. So I think there's five teams that are competitive with Houston, Mini, Denver, San Antonio, and OKC. I think those guys, based on, as you and I have talked about since the start of the show in October, the matchups, who has to play who in the playoffs will determine advancement.
Mm. Yeah, so with the Lakers, our friend Rich Paul, you know, he has a podcast now.
Is it as good as ours?
No.
No, I don't think so. No.
I'm going to say I don't think anyone's as good as ours.
I like Rich. I'm glad he needs to work.
Yeah, but he came out. He came out and said that if he was running the Lakers, he would trade Austin Reeves for Jaren Jackson Jr. What would you think if that deal materialized?
I think, you know, as we always say, it takes two to tango, even though we don't tango that much in London. Jaren Jackson's not getting traded for Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean,
he was a defense player of the year 2 years ago.
You could trade Ja Morant, that's Austin Reeves, Ja Morant. Okay. I get that, but that's not a trade because they don't need a point guard. But Jaren Jackson, he's commanding a monster assets, and then certainly the Lakers don't have any.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't help with rebounding either. He would help their defense, though. But if you're the Lakers, I don't know why it's taken them so long to figure this out, because we could have told you for free when Luka got traded there. All right, LeBron needs the ball. Luka needs the ball. Austin Reeves needs the ball. And not one of those three guys plays any defense. So I saw the stat this week. LeBron leads the league in fast break points. And it's not some like, oh, he's superhuman. No, he's just not getting back on defense. Yeah. That's why he leads the league in fast break points. It's not, like, with all due respect to LeBron, who's an all-time great, but it's not because he's at 41. Like, yeah, he is insane, but it's because he's not getting back.
Well, they're really struggling now. And JJ, who is really having a hard time being able to say, you know, they're not guarding people. And so when you go in and you play Sacramento and you got your brains beat out because you can't stop anyone, but it happens, you go up to Portland, you don't have a couple of guys. They had several guys out. They beat your brains in. It's the same thing.
And the Hornets.
Yeah, Hornets just crush them at home.
Mm-hmm.
Crush them. So I think there's a lot of that. And they're losing. Again, I believe there's still a negative plus minus. Which is
point differential.
For a team with that record,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to be about a +5 to +6.
Yep.
On differential. They're, I believe, slightly below even.
Yeah. I don't understand how.
That's
it's because That's they have won a lot of these games as clutch games with Luka being a hero at the end. And what was interesting was the clutch game against the Bucks, where Giannis came up huge on a defensive side of the basketball. Actually, not to just kind of spiral out here, but what do you think of the Bucks crowd at home booing Giannis and then Giannis booing them back. Because, you know, when they booed Kyrie in Boston, that's when I knew he was leaving.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Well, no one wants to get booed, but, you know, you understand in this business of professional sports, football, basketball, baseball, anything we have, that people pay to come in. As fans that pay big money to come and see us play, if you don't perform, it's like going to a Broadway show, we call it, or the theater in London. Mm-hmm. And if the actor can't remember their lines or they are terrible in singing the song, you can boo them because you paid a lot of money to go see
them. I went to a comedy show. I was booing the hell out of people because they were terrible. Yo, I was at this comedy show and like there was a comedian on stage. And this was also in the O2 Arena, massive arena, right?
Wow.
And I'm sitting at the very back. I'm at the very top of the very back. And this comedian comes out and they're terrible. And it's like an awkward silence. So I just stood up and I just started booing. and then the whole rest of the crowd just started booing as well. Because sometimes you just have to boo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think it's their right. No one likes it. But, you know, play better.
Yeah.
Play better. Giannis, it probably hasn't happened to him too often in his career. But you know what? It's not going to be the last time. I'm not saying they were booing him. They were booing his team.
Yeah.
You know, booing them back, not a really a smart idea. No, not a smart
idea. I want to share a conversation I had with an NBA fan this week. I ask everyone, who's your team, right? And this guy says to me, oh, it's the Clippers. I said, oh, cool, cool. He goes, but I'm going to change. I said, why? He goes, oh, I hate the organization. I said, why? He goes, look what they did to Chris Paul. And I said to him, brother, they've been pretty good since they did that to Chris Paul. They're on a 5-game winning streak right now. They're almost back at 500 after going through what was like a 2-9 stretch. So whatever was going on with Chris Paul, getting rid of him was probably for the best because they look a whole lot better since he's been cut from the team than they did when he was on the team.
Well, you know, it's a team in team sports as opposed to individual sports, team sport. They are a very old team like Chris was. And guess what? The old guys are playing better. I mean, you know, why? I mean, is it incredible? The way their oldest point guard in the league, the old left-hander, Harden, James is playing Harden. Now? My yep. God. And James is just incredible. I think I saw where James has never had a losing plus-minus differential in his career.
You look at the Clippers season, right? 3-2 in their first 5 games. Then they had a 3-19 disaster stretch.
Wow.
Right? They went 3-19. Now, since then, I think they're 12-2. So,
no, I mean, and I think with an old team, they have great coaching there. You know, sometimes things aren't a good fit. Chris is getting paid his entire year's salary. You know, people want him to go play for a championship team. Good luck. But you know what? What a career. You know,
yeah.
What a career.
Yeah, great career.
It didn't end the way he wanted.
Just wasn't the right fit.
Wrong, doesn't
wrong time, wrong place. You know, it's a shame his retirement tour got cut short. But, you know, do you think the Clippers, though, currently the 11th seed at 18-23, but the way they're playing, I look at it and I just worry about Kawhi's health and can he sustain this level of production because he's been absolutely balling. But if they can, and I say this every year with the Clippers, if they can get healthy for the playoffs, do you think they could make a run?
Well, that was my long shot, right? You know, preseason. Yeah. Because I liked what they did there. They got depth. They have a shot to be a play-in team. They're good enough to make it in as the 8th seed. They can be a problem to someone. Not as the 8th seed, probably not an OKC, but I know one thing. Shea does not want to go against James. No one on their team wants to play Kawhi. And they have big people that are better than the big people on OKC.
Yeah, Zubac is fantastic.
Zubac and Brooke Lopez.
Yeah,
OG. Pretty good backup.
Yeah.
You know, and who can shoot the ball. So, they have pieces there. And if they get all their health together, big if, then they have a shot.
Well, actually, going back to the Celtics for a sec, you know, we mentioned the Jaren Jackson Jr. trade recently, but Zubac and Jaren Jackson are two names that float around in these rumors for the Celtics to trade for. I personally don't see any way they can't trade for Zubac. But they were talking about Jaren Jackson, which would just be a whole load of draft picks and a whole load of young players. Do you see any move that the Celtics can make for a big man? Because I like the way the team is currently. There was rumors about Daniel Gafford. I think Cato has been fantastic, and he's cheaper than Daniel Gafford. I wouldn't do that deal. But I would do a deal for Zubac if there was any possible way. I probably wouldn't do it for Jaren Jackson Jr. because of the rebound.
I don't know how you get him. That's the thing. I just don't know. What do you give up to get him?
Simons, who has been on, by the way, on an absolute heater. The other day, Jaylen Brown didn't even play down the stretch because Anthony Simons caught fire.
Yeah. So Zubac is, I'm not doing the math right, but I want to say he's a top 3, 4, 5 center in the league. Real center. Right?
Yeah. If we go real center.
Real center.
Jokic.
Yeah. We've got real Wemby. Center. Well, so Wemby's not a center.
Real center.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Shengun, you got Zubac. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, real centers, you know, big, powerful guy. I think he's in the top 3, 4. Those things are so valuable. And there's none in the draft.
Yeah.
That I see. So I think I'm taking a shot with this group I have. I'm not trading Zubac. And if I want to do something in the offseason, I'd look at it. But I think he's really valuable to that team.
Yeah.
He's a great teammate, too. That's the big thing. Huge teammate.
Well, it's fascinating, the NBA at this time of year. All-Star break is around the corner. Next week, we will be doing a breakdown of all the All-Star picks. The starters are being announced while we're recording this, but we'll go through the entire All-Star roster next week, and we'll have another episode on Thursday with another special guest.
Yeah, all I can say to our incredible fans and listeners is you're lucky you're listening to it and not seeing this person in person. It would be probably dangerous for you if you did.
Yeah, I was lucky it was on a Zoom call.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to see this person face to face.
Yeah.
Anyone.
That's a fact.
Anyone.
That's a fact. But Coach, I appreciate you as always.
I just want you to recover.
I'm going to bed.
Ice on those eyelids. Sleep with ice on there.
Yeah, man. I'm going to sleep. You know, I never sleep. I'm going to sleep right now. But to everyone who showed up at the different events I did over the weekend, everyone who stopped me in the arena and stuff, I just want to let you guys know how much I appreciate you, because this is why we do this show, is for you, the people, to give you the best quality podcast that we possibly can, no matter what. So I appreciate the love. Stay locked in with us. If I didn't get to catch you, I apologize, and hopefully I get the opportunity to see all of you guys soon. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. I need to fix my voice as well. I'm losing it. I've got a game to commentate on Wednesday night. So
yeah, I know.
Drink some tea or something. I don't know. But, you know.
Enough said.
I'll catch you guys next time. Until then, get buckets.